I'm John Batchelor with the Friends of History Debating Society, Jeremy Zakas visiting from New South Wales, Sydney. And the good news is really good news. On the central and northern regions of the Great Barrier Reef, hard coal coverage reached 33 and 36% this year, the highest level recorded in the past 36 years of monitoring, according to the Australian Institute of Marine Science. This turns into a story saying the Great Barrier Reef is restoring itself. You've visited the Great Barrier Reef. What is it like, Jeremy? What does it look like?
John, it is truly spectacular. Up close, the coral is fantastic. I have done snorkeling on the Great Barrier Reef just north of Hervey Bay, which is in Queensland. So it's a beautiful part of the world, very, very exotic, very warm, very great, very nice to holiday in. The different colors of coral underwater are just spectacular. And if you see photos on the internet, it doesn't do it justice because when you see it in person live, it is much more vibrant. The great thing is that the coral is teeming with life as well, which a lot of the photos don't show. And it's just truly beautiful. And from the air, it is also even more spectacular as well. So, of course, when about 5 years ago we started to understand that the Great Barrier Reef was being devastated by coral bleaching, which was linked to carbon in the atmosphere and pollutions in our ocean, we were very, very worried. But John, this news, the fact that the coral itself is fighting back, the coral is actually able to, what it looks like, repair itself much quicker than any of the scientists were predicting, because this was new ground. Coral bleaching had not been seen before, and we didn't know how the coral would react. But the fact that it is regenerating in areas that had previously been devastated, this is fantastic. So it's good to know that at least hopefully generations to come will still be able to see the coral. And most importantly, that coral bleaching isn't irreversible. I think this is starting to show that the coral is a lot stronger than we first thought.
Do you see reporting on the Great Barrier Reef on your television and your radio? Is it a big story in Sydney?
It actually is. It actually is, especially when it comes to coral bleaching, because it's such a big part of our tourist industry up on the northern eastern part of Australia. And this story, for example, definitely did make headlines because it's something new. And because the Great Barrier Reef is such a large part of the Australian iconography, it's a big iconic part of Australian tourism, it does always make big news. And I think this is where we do get to breathe a sigh of relief a little bit in knowing that it's not going to possibly be wiped out, which is what we thought would be the issue. But there is something that does cause us a little bit of concern. And that's, as we've been discussing the climate and as we're heading into another really stormy, wet period, the Great Barrier Reef coral is susceptible to hurricanes and certainly very much susceptible to heavy storm damage. So while it's regenerating now from the coral bleaching, as we start to go into these La Nina events and the negative Indian Ocean dipole events, which will cause heavy weather over the Great Barrier Reef, there is still possibility there'll be damage. But the good news is that we do understand that storm damage is much more regeneratable than it is than the coral bleaching. So we know that the Great Barrier Reef is very resilient, but we're always watching it. We're very, very protective, John, of our reef.
More good news about perhaps climate, but certainly about a little creature called, with a great big off-putting name, the rock rat. However, I've seen a picture of the rock rat. It looks like a baby kangaroo. And apparently it was thought extinct, but that was premature. This is central Australia near Alice Springs, which is the dead center. And it's in a place called Ormiston Gorge. They've rescued rock rats. Have you ever met a rock rat, Jeremy?
I have been lucky enough, John, to see a rock rat when I was living in South Australia, but it was actually in a conservation park, so it wasn't in the wild, and it was one of those very rare occasions when they had a rock rat breeding program there in South Australia. But unfortunately there, they did become extinct. So from my point of view, when I grew up in South Australia, when I went out into the bushland, in particular in the Flinders Ranges, which is a very large conservation area to the north of Adelaide there, which is where the rock rat used to be, they were extinct by the time I'd sort of left Adelaide, which was, you know, roughly about 20 years ago now. But the fact that they found these little critters up in Alice Springs now in the center of Australia is exciting news because, firstly, they were thought to be extinct there. They were thought to be wiped out. And any extinction of any animal is seen as a devastating loss for Australia. But the fact that there's at least 60 there and there's some early indications from the reporting that they may be breeding shows that these critters are actually fighting back. We're actually seeing them come back. So this is great, John. I mean, yeah, everybody does like these little kangaroo-like creatures, especially the rock rats when we thought we'd lost them.
I'm beginning to think that Australia is really soft on anything that suggests kangaroo. Now, kangaroos used to be very large. They've found evidence in the islands above Australia of kangaroos at 7 feet, 8 feet. However, I guess the mammals have adjusted to the limited eating conditions in Central Australia, and they've come down to be little creatures. However, the evidence is also that...
It was wonderful.
As you can hear, they sent in a helicopter to rescue the rock rats. I mean... Jeremy, you got to love a country that's balmy for anything that looks like a kangaroo this size to dispatch a helicopter. Was this big news when it happened?
Funnily enough, it was. I mean, we absolutely love our critters, all great and small. And you're right, the kangaroo was much bigger and it's now basically miniaturized. And it's interesting, John, that anything that's not looking like a proper rat in Australia is literally going to probably look like a kangaroo. All our rats hop, I think is the best way to say it. And the fact that a helicopter has been dispatched, or several helicopters were dispatched once we found out about the rock rat surviving, that's phenomenal. And that's just a very Australian thing. I mean, we also do it too for our koalas when they get into trouble with bushfires. We also do it too for our other animals too that are in danger and, you know, in those very remote places. Because one thing Australia has is many, many remote places. So literally, we get the helicopters out. We do everything we can to save them. So this is big news. It's great news. And I think it shows just how serious we are in Australia about our conservation. And we love trying to save these things because that's something we enjoy.
Jeremy Zakas is in New South Wales. This is the part of the program where Jeremy gives me another instruction in cricket. But he tells me that this is a quiet period for cricket. We're waiting for springtime in Australia. So we're going to turn to another game that I don't know about, except to read headlines. And in this particular instance, the headline is compelling. New Zealand summit late magic to ease pressure on embattled coach Ian Foster. This is a game called rugby, which sometimes is described as football, but nobody's wearing any pads. It looks very dangerous. And this is a very famous team called the All Blacks from New Zealand. So when we come back, I'm going to get a lesson in rugby from Jeremy Zakas. I'm John Batchelor.